the true culture of this region. The Pacific Northwest welcomes refugees.
That was a clip from Echoes of the Grunge Age, a fusion of music and animation produced by one of our guests today. Welcome to Words and Pictures, the show about the narrative arts. I'm S.W. Conser.
And I'm Bill Dodge. Today we're in the studio with a musician, poet, comics artist, and animator who will be screening his multimedia event, Echoes of the Grunge Age, at Portland's Clinton Street Theater on April 17th.
Spider Moccasin is an enrolled Wasco Warm Springs tribal member who has brought his poetry and music to venues all over the Pacific Northwest, and who is profiled in the New York Times story, Return of the Postmodern Medicine Man. Spider, welcome to Words and Pictures.
Well, thank you very much. That's fantastic.
We're also joined by a producer, documentarian, and a giant in the Portland music scene. Mike Lastra is the founder of Smegma Studios and the director of multiple films, including Northwest Passage, Satyricon, Madness, and Glory. And he'll be joining Spider at the Clinton Street Theater next month with his own shorts program. It's called Brain Follies. Thanks for joining us, Mike.
Well, you're welcome. Glad to be here.
Hey, so Spider, give us a little bit of an introduction to your project, Echoes of the Grunge Age. There's a lot of moving parts and a lot of history that's coming together in this show.
Well, it's like an open love letter to my generation of artists and musicians from the late 80s and the early 90s and the mid 90s here in Portland, Oregon. It's a deep dive into my sketchbook. It's semi-animated. I'm influenced by the work of Terry Gilliam and Carol Zeman in terms of the animation approach. And it's a memoir. It's not a documentary. It's about my response to witnessing a lot of fantastic music and art there at the turn of the century. And so it's a personal reflection on those times. And it's handmade. It's hand-drawn. There's nothing about it that was synthesized or generated by a computer, although we used software to edit it in post. It's very crude. You can see smudges and fingerprints and wrinkles in the paper, and occasionally my thumb comes into the image, so you know for sure that it was handmade, that it was handcrafted. I don't think I could sell it at a table at Crafty Wonderland, but I do think that it has a total street quality, and it's a real punk rock effort.
And you had some assistance from Mr. Mike Lastra here in the room.
That could be very true. Yes, indeed. Well, you know, Spider brought his materials, and we carefully went through it and decided how to approach the project, cleaned up this and that, and it went fairly smoothly.
Oh, no. I'm just encouraging everybody to riff, butt in anywhere you want. You know, just riff off the conversation. We're all good.
Lastra's like, what is this thing, a riff?
Riff? Mm. Improvising?
I've worked on 800 albums. Riff. Yeah. What is a riff? Is that like a lick?
Well, that might be something to just throw in that's not in the script. You know, bullet points about all the different bands and different projects you've done without... I know it would take you about 8 or 9 hours to list all of them, but there's a lot, and it's impressive.
Yeah, best I can tell, about 1,000 bands or so over the years that I've recorded, and probably starting, you know, even before that, when I was a youngster, I did stuff, and not much of that is preserved. And then, of course, I went on to my video world and film when I was young, so I did dabbling and public access, and one of the first public access stations in the country when it first became a thing in 1975. So that was quite an event. You know, we didn't really have the gear, but we certainly had. I had the whole clan of the Smegma people to tap as alleged talent for whatever we were doing.
So what was public access like when it was first getting started? A lot of people may not know that weren't around.
Well, oddly enough, I was living in San Diego at the time. Los Angeles didn't have a cable because they didn't need it there. However, San Diego had a lot of hills, so they had a cable system. And I happened to do this thing at some big art thing down there, and I ran into these college students who told me this public access thing was about to launch. So I signed up, and it was only 4 hours a week on Friday. And so we had the last hour called the Terminal Time Warp Hour, which was kind of a mix of, music and satire and inexplicable behavior. And
insanely cool for the early 70s.
So most of that, you said, doesn't survive?
That does survive. Some of that does survive. I've unfortunately, or whatever, I spend lots of hours preserving these files and converting them and cleaning them up. And yeah, it's kind of an odd thing to have to keep doing, but it keeps this stuff alive.
And then you ended up helping establish cable access programming in Portland to a big extent. And Bill here was part of that glory days of Portland to cable access.
Yeah, my first exposure to William Dodge on the air wasn't on Community Radio KABU, where he has been volunteering since 1976. It was actually on Portland Cable Access and his show, The Couch Potato. And I would see movie reviews that Bill was working on in those days in the late 80s. And that was part of what welcomed me into community, journalism and community radio and TV, knowing that there were crazy men like him around here doing stuff like that.
Yeah, that was kind of a dry run for doing radio later to be the voice of a talking potato sitting on a couch, talking about Méliès and Edison. It was fun, and I was kind of aware of brain follies at that time. I think that what year were you? Did you start out doing that in Portland?
Well, as soon as public access launched here in town, I was a board member of the Creative Outlet at the time, and we set the specs for cable access when the cable companies were lurking in town. And so I was ready to go. I had already been doing video. So I decided I had to show my faith and have a program. So it became Brain Follies.
Well, we want to mention about Brain Follies. April 17th at the Clinton Street Theater, that is your own program of animated short films that will start off the evening, preceding Spider's program. You've collaborated with Mitch Frass on Brain Follies. Tell us about some of the shorts we'll be seeing.
Well, it's a combination of things that I culled from Brain Follies, and most of it there's no humans in, but a lot of the material was collaborated with different artists or willing dupes who joined the fun, and we...
Super genius talents like Mike King.
It wasn't Lalo Schifrin involved in one of your very early films back in the 60s, Destroy All Models?
Well...
The Mission Impossible Lalo Schifrin?
Well, that was sort of, since I started shooting film literally when I was 14, so whatever year that was. But, one of the things I did, and kids, boys back in the days, we built models and the like. But, for me, I had my film camera. I thought, well, what better way to have some fun than, catch them on fire or blow them up? Because, firecrackers were easy to get back then. And and so I filmed a lot of that and put together a little compilation years ago because I was archiving this stuff. And it seemed appropriate to put that music on there, and so I did. The fascinating thing is, because I was a poor kid, trying to shoot film, and when I would later show these films, because my mother would see them, she'd go, "What were you guys doing with all that fireworks and all that?" So, we were kind of recording the evidence of
our
adventures
off,
unwillingly.
This is 8mm?
Yes, it was. Yeah, I grew up in L.A., so during that time of media frenzy, and I thought, well, I want to join this thing. I was into audio and music, of course, but I thought, well, I get this camera and figure out how to use it, and away you go,
You'll get a chance to see Lastra's shorts on Thursday, April 17th. If you come at 6:30, from 6:30 to shortly after 7, we'll be running this tremendous collection of Brain Follies. And you see the transformation of technology over the course of his reel, because he's used so many different platforms to generate his projects from the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, after the turn of the century. And so you see all variety of animation media, you know, ranging from work in clay, all the way through, you know, the now dated Amiga computer era. And Lastra is a Renaissance man, and his animation is just one little piece of the puzzle that makes up the mystery of this medicine man and wizard.
Yeah, I can vouch for that. And Mike's Brain Follies program will be followed by Echoes of the Grunge Age, and we definitely want to get back to that. But Mike, you know, one thing that people might know you from, you are one of the most prolific chroniclers of punk rock and indie bands. We mentioned your documentaries, Northwest Passage and Satyricon, Madness and Glory. You started covering the Portland music scene in the very early days before low-light cameras and compact microphones made it easy.
It's true. Well, when I moved up here, I was already into video, and some things happened where the place I actually bought some of my video gear from offered me a job. And so starting in 1978, I ran the entire service department of the small video company.
Nice.
And it was in the right place to buy the gear and learn how to repair everything that came through the door. And so that served me well. And so when the punk rock scene kind of broke, you know, I had a multi-camera system I put together, and I had a key to the business with the alarm cord. So I'd just go in and borrow a little more gear and add it to my gear and, you know, stay up to 2 a.m. videotaping whether the Dead Kennedys or the Bags or whatever bands there were, and then return the gear back to the company and then get up in the morning and go back to work and try to function. But, quite an adventure, you know, young, you know, spirited, energized, you know, as some of us could be at that age.
You're listening to Words and Pictures. I'm S.W. Conser.
And I'm Bill Dodge, and today we're talking about music and film. We're here with Echoes of the Grunge Age director Spider Moccasin, as well as filmmaker and music producer Mike Lastra.
Before we get back to the conversation, I'd like to take a moment to remind our listeners that KBOO is in the midst of our All Thrills, No Frills membership drive.
We hope that you've been enjoying our programming and that you'll take a moment to pledge your support.
There are all kinds of ways to join KBOO. On the web, you can visit kboo.fm/ATNF4. You can also text KBOO to 44321. And if you prefer to go analog, we're always happy to receive a contribution in the mail. The address of the station is 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, 97214.
Again, the webpage is kboo.fm/ATNF4. On your mobile device, you can text KBOO to 44321. And of course, you can reach us by mail at 20 Southeast 8th in Portland, 97214.
And now let's talk some more with our guests, Spider Moccasin and Mike Lastra. So Mike, I do want to mention once again that Brain Follies, the animation shorts collection, will be on the big screen April 17th at the Clinton Street Theater, followed by Echoes of the Grunge Age, the Spider Moccasin collection. And what you were saying about working musicians, it's very similar to the same situation with working animators and comics artists, especially here in Portland. You know, a lot of animators and comics artists floated under the radar for a long time before being discovered. So tell us a little bit about, like, the interaction, Spider, tell us a little bit about the interaction between musicians and animators. You know, the soundtrack in Echoes of the Grunge Age is all your music. The animation is all your animation. There are so many characters interacting with so many environments. There's a lot of significance in the details, a lot of a lot of music references, a lot of art references.
Fantastic. You're hired, Conch. You should be my public relations person. Fantastic. Well, let's see. Well, I know a lot of musician cartoonists, if I stop and think about it. You know, some of my favorites include Mr. Dean Paris. There's Mr. Eric Kilkenny. There's Mr. Steve Hess. There's Mr. William Dodge right over there.
Thank you.
There's Mr. Michael Lastra. I think it's very common for visual artists and sound artists to do multimedia stuff, especially here in the Pacific Northwest. We have this rainy weather. We have these basements, these long stretches of winter where there's nothing to do. And so sometimes we sit down and we work on a graphic novel or two, or a rock opera, or a hybrid graphic novel rock opera. These things happen, and they certainly happen to me. And so I've always been inspired by all of the talent I've come across, and that's really what my project, Echoes of the Grunge Age, is about, is reflecting on all of the amazing people that I saw. And it's really easy to remember the ones that got signed to major record labels or became movie stars, and it's very... it's a waste of time to forget the folks that didn't necessarily make it big, but still made it happen. And so my film really tries to take a broad look at the music scene that I encountered in the 1990s in Portland, a big giant sort of snapshot. And I don't attempt to make it a documentary or lay out facts about all of these different music acts. Instead, I try to... relay anecdotes and personal memories about what it was like to encounter these people on stage or in person. And again and again, I was struck by the generosity of spirit in the music scene in that era. I'm not sure if it exists the same way now. Some of that was from cross-pollination. We had a lot of multi-genre bills in those days. So it wasn't uncommon for a reggae band and a punk group and a country western act and maybe a folk duo to all share a bill together, and then those musicians would meet and encounter and cross-pollinate. Whereas nowadays in Portland, shows are usually a lot more single genre, narrow bandwidth affairs. And so my new semi-animated film, Echoes of the Grunge Age, takes a look back on that earlier era when things were a little more diverse and wild and woolly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and well, you know, like you said, all Portland's music scene in the 80s and 90s was really fertile, and there was a lot of crossover, people jumping from one band to another. And
it's not uncommon to encounter musicians from that time period who, like myself, who had 8 or 9 bands, and they're all different genres with different configurations. And many of those projects didn't record. Many of them didn't get signed, but they still had very active performance lives on stage here in Portland. And so that's what I was trying to describe in my movie.
And one of your bands was Sneaky Preacher. There was a show you played on TV back in the day. Some old school Portlanders might remember it. It was called Saturday Night Dead.
Yeah. Wow. Kevin Michael Moore, the amazing comedian actor, and Mark Adams, they were the hosts of that show. And we did an episode where we emulated David Letterman, and we even ran the camera down the hall at the beginning of the program like they used to on the old Letterman show. And my band, Sneaky Preacher, functioned as the house band for that gig. Mm-hmm. And
you're Paul Schaefer?
I wish. My lead guitarist and Stu Heiner sang his number, Sun Was High, for that show, and that was our first television appearance, and it was very, very exciting, actually. It happened very spontaneously too, and we had really interesting people in the audience. I remember Andre Middleton was there, the African-American activist here in town who does a lot of civil rights work and environmental justice work, and the actress Jamie Chitalis was there as well. And then let's see, the dancer Lisa Ventrella, who was part of Michael Menger's really big dance company back in those days. So we had a happening scene for that TV show appearance, let me tell you.
The Pacific Northwest welcomes refugees, but shouldn't surrender its tradition. What is the old school sound of Portland? What is the noise we make for fun? Did it all begin here with Louie? And not when the ship
Portland bandwagon.
Well, you've been listening to Words and Pictures. I'm S.W. Conser.
And I'm Bill Dodge.
And we've been talking today about the multimedia event Echoes of the Grunge Age. It'll be screening at Portland's Clinton Street Theater on April 17th. And it starts with Mike Laster's Brain Follies at 6:30 p.m.
Our guests have been musician and animator Spider Moccasin, as well as filmmaker and music producer Mike Lastra. Spider and Mike, great to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you very much. We want to thank Rolf Semperbon, the subterranean Rolf. Modern air himself, for engineering this
it's
lovely
now
broadcast.
It's now sounds on sound.
Another stalwart.
Well, Mike, Spider, for those listeners who might be interested in finding out more about Echoes of the Grunge Age and Brain Follies, where would they look?
Well, for Brain Follies, if you really want to be exposed, you go to the YouTube Mike Brain Follies. And like I said, there's about 300 videos of musical performances and any kind of strange creative thing you might imagine.
And if you visit the Clinton Street Theater's website, you'll find a write-up about my film, Echoes of the Grunge Age, April 17th, and a portal and a way to obtain tickets as well. And we really want to thank Aaron and Susan at the Clinton Street Theater for having us and our premiere of our film.
Well, we hope that everybody has been enjoying our special programming for KBOO's All Thrills, No Frills membership drive. Before we go, I'd like to remind all of our listeners that this community radio station needs your support.
To become a member of KBOO or to arrange for a donation of any size, please visit kboo.fm/ATNF4. You can also text KBOO to 44321. Or if you prefer, you can mail a contribution to the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, 97214.
And again, the webpage is kboo.fm/ATNF4. On your mobile device, you can text KBOO to 44321. And of course, you can reach us by mail at 20 Southeast 8th in Portland, 97214.
Thanks to all our listeners on the radio dial and on the web. You can find an archived version of the show later today at kboo.fm/wordsandpictures. And be sure to follow us on social media at Words and Picture.